Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Overlord. Overlord is a 2018 alternate history action horror film directed by Julius Avery and written by Billy Ray and Mark L. Smith. It follows a platoon of US paratroopers who on D-Day enter a small French village to discover that there is a German laboratory hidden under the local church. There, the Germans are attempting to develop a serum that turns their troops into indestructible super soldiers, experimenting on the local populace and leaving them disfigured and horrific. So it's a very special episode today because not only do we get to head down into the dark underground of a Nazi laboratory, but we get to be led there by our friend Adam Carnevale. Welcome, Adam.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks also for suggesting this movie. I was not prepared for how good a time I had with this flick.
Yeah, I know. Same. I absolutely, like, I knew this movie rings so many bells for me, so I knew I would enjoy it.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, the amount of just, I guess, like you're expecting, you know, you go into a movie sometimes and you're like, I know I'm going to enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you go in and you're basically ambushed by how much fun
yeah.
you have.
Yeah, I agree. And like for me, I went in thinking, oh, this is going to be like gross Nazi zombies, basically. And I thought, well, that's enough of a hook that's all you really need for a movie to do fairly well and for audiences to come watch it. But instead, it was barrels of fun and a really great story. And like from the get-go, it was just nonstop and fun all the way through.
It starts off at 11 and it does not let up. It just, it's that great trope that Adam, I'm sure this is why you loved it, because it is a war movie and Adam loves war, as we know,
I do love my war.
Good boy. Yeah.
But it does that great trope of like introducing all of these like interesting, weird soldiers who are all ragtag, and every single movie there is always one from like Jersey or Brooklyn who's like, I love baseball and chicks and playing cards. Anyway, he's in this movie.
Fuck, I hated him so much at the start. I hope he's the first to die. But then, you know, then the movie worked its magic and I fell in love with him. It was fucking great.
That interaction he has with the child where a delightful subversion of what Tom was just saying before where that character's always heaps into baseball or whatever. When the little kid wants to play baseball and this guy's like, nah, mate, you want a pool and $50. That's what we're going to do. Come back to here when we've got a pool table and $50 for me to take off you. That rules.
That was amazing. Like his character, so that's Tibbet.
Yeah.
And I even made a little note in my show notes. I just wrote, John Margaret is too good at playing a dick, because he made me so livid at the start because he was just a prick for no real reason. Like, you're in a war zone. Mm. You don't need to be an asshole as well.
No. Yeah.
No, it's good. They do a lot of good, like, subversions of stuff like that. But, like, in particular, they introduce all these colourful, interesting characters, give you, like, nice backstories. Like, you know, you get the guy who's writing a book who then explodes 30 seconds after giving you that information. And you're like, oh, yeah. Oh no.
You've got to have the simple cowfolk who dies really early. There's got to be that plus character.
I guess that's a nice thing because it destabilizes you straight away, or all of a sudden you're like, oh, none of them are safe.
Yeah.
None of them are safe.
Yeah.
I mean, even from the obviously the scene starts with them on the plane, and which that was almost the scariest part for me because
yes.
I have a bit of a phobia with planes. I had a really shit one once where it was just this extreme turbulence, and I genuinely thought, oh, this is me, how I die. And so ever since then, I've got an actual phobia with planes. If we hit even a little bit of turbulence, I'm clutching the armrest and having a sweat and that sort of thing. So watching that plane literally have to fly through like gunfire and bombs and explosions, that was terrifying. I freaking hated that.
This is a question maybe that Adam can help me with. But watching that movie, I always assumed like, I don't know a lot about army and I don't know a lot about like ranks and how things work. But watching that movie, I don't know whether this is actually how it is, but I realized that like paratroopers in my mind seem really competent and they're just dudes. Like they're not like, yes, they might be trained how to use a parachute, but then they don't seem overtly good at their job as they're getting out of the plane.
In the novel that Band of Brothers is based off, Band of Brothers is based off real life, I suppose, if you want to get technical or whatever. But the novel that Band of Brothers is adapted from, there's this great line where one of the characters is like, I was just going to be a regular soldier, but they said that paratroopers get paid an extra $100, so I joined up, and that's why I became a paratrooper.
Oh, God. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. But it's the time period, too. Like, you've got to imagine that. These are soldiers who don't want to be soldiers. Like nowadays, in certain countries, you sign up to be a soldier and you're like, you're elite and you're trained very well. These guys probably had like 2 weeks of training and then they're in a fucking aeroplane that's on fire. Was that one single take as well? I can't remember now. I'm trying to think. Because I remember it just being like, visually, it's fucking incredible how they did it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the D-Day airborne landings or whatever, the planes flying in the sky so many times, and I don't think I've ever seen it done in that, like, for horror. I don't think I've ever seen it done in that way, and that rules.
Yeah, it was really good. I actually read that they rigged up a plane onto this gimbal device and they actually tilted it, and then they literally blew up the front and told all the actors they had to go through the very real fire to get out.
Oh, fuck me. So it's like stunt guys going through fire.
Yeah. After this real explosion. Yeah, which is incredible.
Oh, that's very cool.
All right, I'll pause this there on the talk. There's so much more to talk about for Overlord. But Adam, I wanted to know, obviously this is Scaredy Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a Scaredy Boy? Are you a brave boy? Like, what's your history with horror?
So I would describe myself as a scaredy boy who is very good at adapting.
Okay.
So I get really easily scared by horror and stuff like that. And I find myself feeling uncomfortable in them very often.
Yeah.
But I'm very good at finding tricks to stop being uncomfortable and to enjoy it.
Oh my God. Lay them on us.
My favorite one is in any slasher movie, if I'm ever too scared, I just start rooting for the slasher.
That is brilliant.
Great.
It's just, you just flip teams. You just switch over and then you're like, yes, get them. Yeah. Fuck them up.
Yeah. Increase that body count, bro. Those are awesome stats. Oh, that is great. I love that.
Tom, I'm surprised you haven't done that.
It depends. Like, I feel like I've, like, watching a Nightmare on Elm Street type movie, you want the fun, kooky deaths. Like, you want Freddy to get some kids.
Yeah, very, very pro Krueger.
I've never been fully switched.
No. But maybe you should be. I mean, it does feel in your wheelhouse, Tom, with your perchance for betraying us, basically.
Hey, this is no. I'm going to be, you know, that's not every week. I haven't done that for a while.
Although, to be honest, in this movie, you'd have to be going for the Nazis. So
look.
That feels questionable.
There are fine people on both sides.
Okay.
I didn't enjoy that at all. Just to clarify, Nazis are bad. Empirically, categorically.
Taking the bold stance of saying that Nazis are no good.
Yeah. Controversially.
Yeah.
They suck.
So, Adam, do you get that enjoyment that people seem to get from watching horror movies? Like, afterwards, are you left like, oh, that was great, I'm so glad I watched it? Because, like, for me, sometimes, yes, having done this show, I'm like, oh, if it's a great movie, obviously it's a great movie. But other times I just feel like a bit ill afterwards that I'm not sure I had a good time. Do you find that you do enjoy the rush of being scared?
I definitely do enjoy The Rush. Yeah, it's something. It's like, I don't even know what is like it. It's like painful in the moment, but then in retrospect, you're like, I'm glad I did that.
That sounds like going for a run to me. you're going, why am I doing this? Then afterwards you're like, oh, that was pretty good. Got the endorphins going.
It's pretty apt. Yeah. It's like going for a run. It's like exercising. Destroy my body, but make me feel great afterwards, please.
Can I just jump in on this? Knowing like the experience that I've had experiencing horror with you, Adam.
Yeah.
Is that I feel like you've pivoted so hard into rooting for the slasher that when you watch horror or get someone else to watch, you get perverse enjoyment at subjecting other people to horror, whether it's in video game format, TV show, movie. Fuck, like, I've had to watch some things that you've enjoyed watching me watch the things. You made us rewind the end of Host.
Oh, no. That's right.
That's why you moved out, Tom. Enough was enough.
Yeah, that's why I've moved. One of the first things we did in lockdown was Adam made me play a fucking scary game, and I'm glad I moved out before the sequel got released this month.
Letting you know, you're not getting out of it. We're still playing it.
Is that another one of your tricks, Adam? That if someone else is scared, you could always like just put that on there.
Well, that's basically, it's the same basic principle where I flip and I start rooting for the slasher. I'm basically becoming, I am starting to root for the movie or the game to scare the person I'm with.
Right.
And when I start taking pleasure in that, it's not scary anymore.
Yeah.
Or not that it's not scary. It just like, it doesn't affect me anymore, I guess.
Yeah.
But then, Adam, does that make it worse then if you put a movie on and you're watching it by yourself? Because you suddenly look around and go, oh, fuck, I don't have anyone here. Fuck.
I guess sometimes, yeah. I don't tend to seek out scary movies on my own.
Yeah, brave.
Well,
not brave, but for us, brave. I think a good, wise decision.
Yeah.
If sometimes the only mechanism I have there is typically if I'm doing something scary on my own, it might be a game. And what I do is I just start psyching myself up and I start calling myself a big, brave dog. And then I just rush in and do it.
I can attest to that. I've heard that while living with you. Big Brave Dog. And also another favorite of yours, which I have borrowed, is just singing the American National Anthem.
That's right.
Just particularly for a video game, if you've got to like walk down a scary corridor, the corridor is instantly so much less scary if you're walking down it going, oh, say, can you see? I don't know.
Can it be any national anthem or specifically the American one?
The American one feels good.
Okay.
The American one feels, it makes you feel bold as brass, if I may use a term.
You really do have an impressive collection of tricks. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
And do you remember the first horror movie you watched? Was it terrifying or were you like, oh, this is rad, I'm awesome.
Am I allowed to say an episode of The Simpsons counts?
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
The first thing I remember being too scary for me to watch or finish is the episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns, where they're like the X-Files crossover where Mr. Burns is like an alien.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Mr. Burns being all stretched out and glowing, walking out of the forest. I remember turning the TV off and never seeing that episode until I was in my teens. I was spooked solid.
That is wonderful. I love that it's not even a Treehouse of Horror. I just assumed it was going to be a Treehouse of Horror episode.
Yeah, no, it was just a normal episode.
Treehouse of Horror is funny. That was scary. Yeah. You kidding me?
Oh, that is so awesome. All right, well, let's jump back to Overlord. So, mm-hmm. Were you scared watching Overlord? Was there any part of it that was scary for you?
Not really.
No.
No, I was expecting to be spooked, but because the trailer made this seem a lot scarier than it is, but the actual movie, I was largely fine. Mm. I kept seeing bit out. So people might know that I love Army. So what always got me or whatever is that, I don't know, something scary would be happening, and I'd be like, that guy's uniform is wrong. I can't stop.
I wish I had that
this.
Power.
Yeah,
I wish I had that power.
Ah, don't. Did you shot? You only have 7 bullets. What are you doing?
Oh well, now I'm completely removed from the scene.
Yeah.
That gun doesn't reload like that.
Adam, did this movie have a lot of those moments?
No, not really. Just like enough that I couldn't keep them out of my mind.
I've got to ask, whose uniforms were incorrect? Because I feel like if the Nazi uniforms are wrong, that's okay, because these guys feel like a splinter group of evil Nazis. Well, all Nazis are evil. Eviler Nazis.
It kind of comes with the territory. Yeah, it's the, you know, the main officer, the one who is also a rapist?
Yes.
That seems so unnecessary, right? That just I just feel like you don't need that scene in this movie. Like, he could just be a creep. And
Tom,
like,
they had to show you that he's a bad guy.
We know he's a bad guy. He's a Nazi.
Yeah, I know.
His
uniform
has a skull on it.
He's Theon Greyjoy's uncle. We knew he's bad news.
It's a piece of shit.
Oh, damn, he is too.
Yeah.
But yeah, his, when she's taken off his outfit or whatever, I'm like, nope, incorrect. Also something I genuinely, something that I don't know if it was a inaccuracy or not, and I haven't looked it up, but I should look it up because I'm curious now, but I don't think they had integrated units in World War II. So I don't think, I don't think anyone was serving with anyone that was not their race.
Yeah, I kind of wondered about that as well. I'm like, I kind of liked that it never actually like came up. Like, no one ever said.
I didn't mind that either. Yeah.
Part of me was like, oh, if it's an alternate history movie, then maybe that's part of the alternate history is that people weren't so racist on in the Allied side.
I chose to take it as like Dev Patel playing David Copperfield in the race of the movie is about Nazis making zombie vampire monsters in a lab that historical accuracy doesn't matter.
Absolutely. I think when, I forget the actor's name, but when the sergeant comes out and he's like just in charge and no one's questioning it at that point, almost immediately, because that's in the beginning of the movie, almost immediately I was like, all right, look, hey, I'm gonna get upset when someone shoots more bullets than they have, but this is not gonna bother me. They've basically established from this point onwards, don't fucking think about this. Whatever, just go.
The guy who plays the sergeant in the movie, Adam, you'll be pleased to know this, is Mike Milligan from Fargo season 2.
That's right. Oh my god, I was trying to. I knew his face. Oh.
Just gonna imagine him Mike saying Milligan. The Nazis, "You're not nice. You're just polite."
He's so good. Can we go back? Can I recommend Fargo season 2 instead? Can we watch that?
Yes.
Ah, damn. He is so good.
So, Adam, I wanted to ask, why Army? Like, what got you into loving Army to the point that you can say, oh, that's one less button than there should be or something like that?
I'm a guy, you know? I like manly things.
Manly?
Manly, yeah. It's like manly, but even manlier. Oh,
there's Butch and then there's Adam. That's how this
is. It makes me feel tough.
Yeah, okay.
I like feeling tough so the bullies leave me alone.
Side question, Adam. What's your favorite Army movie?
Ooh, I like Jarhead for one specific scene. There's a scene in Jarhead where they're all watching Apocalypse Now, the Rise of the Valkyries scene, and they're getting like amped. Like they're going to war and they're watching this to get amped up. And in that scene, the voiceover, he's saying that there's no such thing as to someone who loves war, there is no such thing as an anti-war movie. All because war is inherently good to someone who likes war. Mm-hmm. And that, with this scene of them watching innocent Vietnamese civilians getting gunned down and cheering. And then it all really happened as well. You're like, I'm like, fuck that. Yeah. There's no such thing as a bad war movie if you a anti-war movie if you love war. Yep, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That hits close to home.
Yeah. Yeah. that is powerful. And what I liked actually about this movie is that its theme was likewise very powerful. I love that that officer you were saying earlier, that like one of his first lines was something like Nazis are rotten sons of bitches, which is why we need to be just as rotten as them.
Yes.
Which just sets up the rest of the journey for our protagonist. I thought it was really awesome that basically you kind of had to be willing to be a bit of a piece of shit to succeed in this world.
Yeah, but also there is the fight against that by the protagonist in which his job would be a lot easier if he didn't worry about Chloe.
Mm.
But
That's very
true. The
humanity
in him is, you know, he puts himself and the guys at risk because they're willing to help her and her brother.
Yeah.
So there is that fight against the theme, which I think good movies have. Mm. This movie really surprised me. I thought it was just going to be like a pack of Nazi zombies trying to kill them.
Yeah.
But it had like, I don't know, the characters were great. I genuinely got on board most of those characters. And that's, if I was scared, it was probably only that usual fear you have in a good movie where you're afraid of what's going to happen to characters that you like.
Yeah, it's that for me that the fear came from that first scene where the main guy goes into the base when he ends up accidentally inside the lab. The tension and fear in that is bigger than anything else, and then it's coupled with all the horrifying things he sees in there. Yep. And when he walks up to that cell the first time and then you hear something go on and he goes back a second time, you're like, something's going to jump up. Something's going to jump up and look through that hole in the wall.
Oh, yeah. The worst bit's the woman whose head is just not attached to her body. That's the worst bit.
The vocal cords on the spine and she's saying, please in French or thank you in French.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Merci beaucoup over and over and over again. Oh, it's bad. It's bad.
You know what I like about that is not only is it like horrific and gory and terrible, but it also shows how much destruction they can take. So then later on in the film, when people are literally just getting like ripped to bits, you're like, well, yeah, if a head and a spine can survive, what does it matter if they lose other body parts? So it does really well in serving two purposes and just being really gross. And the grossness was like, it was a pretty strong part of this. It obviously had like echoes of like The Thing or something like that. Which is interesting because I didn't realize this, but what was his name? Ford, Corporal Ford, is Wyatt Russell, as in Kurt Russell's son.
Oh.
Yeah, it's huge.
Huh. Amazing.
Yeah, I just found that out today. It blew me away.
Oh, my God. I thought he was Australian. I don't know why. He just looks Australian.
He's got those surfer vibes.
Yeah. He looks like a Hemsworth.
He reminds me of another Australian who I don't remember. But
now that you say it,
I think love.
Yeah, in my mind, I can see the resemblance. I see that. Yeah, what I loved is this zombie movie had a grand total of like what on screen properly like four zombies. They make the enemy. Mm-hmm. They make the zombies feel so genuinely. Like they're a menace. They're such a powerful enemy.
Yeah, that like four is enough to create destruction, which is a flip of the usual zombie thing. Usually, you have a horde of them. You can sort of, if you've got the right weapon, you can just tear them down. Where I liked that for this one, I mean, obviously the flamethrower definitely helped, but beyond that, they were near impossible to kill, which made them so much more terrifying.
It's kind of like a video game where you just get the boss level characters, the real threatening ones who are so hard to get past. You don't get the horde, which and I think it made it way more effective.
Mm. Absolutely. Mm.
Well, when the only time you see a horde is right at the end when he blows himself and that room full of maybe 10 other zombies up. But I'll tell you what, the other most like, talking about like gross and fucked sequences, the sequence where they inject the
dead
friend. What's his name?
Yeah, the photographer.
Yeah, the photographer, and he's like, I feel like, hey, I'm great. Oh, I'm hot. Is it hot? Are you hot? And his body's just like weird and he's thirsty. And like, then he just starts banging his head against the wall because he's got a headache. And then his like head and neck just break. It's fucking horrific.
Yeah, that crunch as his neck. Oh, my God. And for me, that's when I was like, I was watching that and I looked at my phone because I was streaming it from my phone. And I'm like, I bet that's the midpoint because basically, our main lead, to stick with our theme, our lead has tried to be nice by giving him the injection, thinking he's saving him, and then he immediately has to actually learn his lesson of being cruel and being rotten, and then has to, like, bash his head in.
Yeah,
voice,
yeah. And then has to, like, bash his head in the most horrific way and where he just, like, can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah, it's really great. But even just like the little things, like when he has to rescue Rosenfield, who's like, I can't get captured by the Nazis with a surname like Rosenfield. when like he's taking that giant needle tube out of him, and you're just like, oh no, like what is it? What are they doing to him? He seems largely okay to be like using a chain gun by himself.
Yeah,
which is a great sequence. That whole break into the thing and you know raid the place is a cool sequence.
This is a gun for two people. Fuck you.
My favorite bit is at the end when Boyce comes out to join them, and the little kid just puts his arms in the air.
Yeah,
so good. Fucking love that kid.
And I like you guys were saying earlier, the fact that they got Tibbet to be nice and then you actually liked him by the end. Like, the fact this movie also said, you know what, here's a helping of heart as well. Like, fucking hell, I was very impressed.
Yeah.
I am shocked at how many characters made it. Speaking of the end, how many characters made it to the end? When they were in, I think it was when the farm boy gets blown up by the mine. I was like, oh, that's right. Everyone's going to die except one of them.
Yeah.
And no, like three or four of them survive.
Yeah. I really like that because often you'll get a movie and your hero will survive. There's absolute carnage. Everyone else dies. And then it ends and it's supposed to be like, oh, well, he made it. But it's kind of like, I always hate when movies do that because it's, I don't know. It's just like you've got to think about the mental cost and the emotional cost on the character after the credits are over.
That's
he's lost
a really
all
great
his
point.
Friends. He's lost everyone. Yeah. So I always hate it when movies do like a cop-out just for cheap kills. Mm. I will say when I finished watching this, I went on Letterboxd to check out some reviews. And one of the top ones is just like, yeah, it's cool, but not enough death. And it's like, yeah, you get it. Because you're right. You would expect, like, I kind of thought maybe all of them would die, that it was going to be like a suicide mission. And I'm so glad they didn't.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, Carney. Like, it's more powerful in a way because you actually have a complete victory of a sort where it's that flipping it on its head where you don't normally get that.
Yeah.
And like you say, like seeing your buddy get torn to bits or blown up in some horrific way, like even if you survive the day, well, so what? Like that is going to haunt you for the rest of your days.
There's still blood there. Like Boyce has to kill his mate who he tries to help. He beats him to death with the butt of a rifle. Like he has to learn some pretty hard lessons. And then you also, one of the things I love about the ending in terms of like the theme of it all is talking about like the fact that the war is just an awful, bloody mess. Like it's not clean. It's not nice. People are doing terrible things. You've got to be rotten. And, you know, they do this whole thing. You get that bit where the general's talking to him and he's like, so was there anything down there? And he's like, no, there wasn't. Mm. Because he's not an idiot and he knows that if he tells the Americans there was a lab full of super soldiers, they'll go looking for him. But also, I like that then he comes out and Tibbetts is like, so what are they doing? They're sending us somewhere else? Like, we don't get to go home? It's like, no, you don't, because this is war.
You have to do the rest of World War II, actually. I'm so sorry.
It's just getting started, buddy.
Yeah. It's June. There's a year to go.
Yeah.
All right, so Adam said he wasn't all that scared. Sean and Tom, would you say this movie scared you?
No, not particularly. I was way too entertained. I got really into it.
Yeah, that's a great call.
The action and the characters and all of that. Yeah, I was a little scared by the woman I mentioned before, the head and the all that. But yeah, it doesn't really rate up there with the scariest things we've watched. It was a lot more fun than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it falls into the Dr. Sleep, Ready or Not territories. Mm. There's occasional scares and dread and tension, but not enough. Like, it's not a Descent or 20 Minutes of Ghost Stories.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. Yes.
Yeah. Tom, and also none of that at the expense of story and character development,
which
I thought was, which surprised me and I fucking loved.
Oh, yeah. Really, really well done.
Yeah.
It's just a really well-made film.
Yeah.
Like, it's just good. And I'm assuming a lot of, I don't know, but it feels like a lot of the gross stuff is practical, which I think lends an authenticity to it. Like those gross sacks of goo, and he opens it up and that guy's like, kill me. And you're like, oh, no, don't open the goo sack.
Yeah, I read that a lot of it, they did as much practical stuff as they could.
Yeah, and did you read why they did that?
No, what did they say?
Well, part of it's obvious because it looks awesome, but they also wanted the reactions of the actors to be as authentic as possible. Okay. So, like, if this is literally gross in front of them, they're going to act like it's really gross. Yeah. If they're going to open a goose sack, let's make them actually open a goose sack.
I thought it would probably be a money decision as well. Yuck. Like, a bit of money's gone into this, but it doesn't strike me as being like a big budget movie. I think they've used the money really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'd agree with that. All right, well, did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
I think for the most part.
They acted kind of foolishly, but not, like, not unreasonably. Mm.
Yeah, yeah,
does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious, Adam, as someone who does love Army, how do their responses to being in an army, in a war zone, relate to other movies you've seen and how other people have reacted? Like, was it just on par?
It felt definitely very exaggerated.
Yeah.
Not to say it was unreal or anything like that, but, like, the classic tropes of, like, we're outnumbered, but one guy who's in charge is like, but we got to get the job done no matter what.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That sort of stuff is pretty stock standard, pretty classic. I hardly disagreed with the explosive expert's assessment of that building. I think it would have been much easier to blow up from the inside than the outside. But look, hey, I guess if he's the expert.
Yes.
Yeah, that seemed dumb.
And another thing I guess I was thinking about, Mike, I like the line how Boyce was saying, like, you know, what, it was 2 months ago or however long he was mowing his lawn when a letter came telling him he was.
Yeah.
And that's, like, I imagine fairly true. That literally these people are so unprepared. Like, how could anyone ever be prepared for this situation? Like, even just war zones, let alone Nazi, you know, zombies and fluid sacks and all sorts of awful things. But how could anyone be prepared, let alone in, like, 2 months or whatever they have, how much training they fucking had? So I guess in that way they did all right.
Look, I think in all honesty, it actually might have been closer to a year or 2 years. But look, hey, I actually don't know. I don't know for a fact. Maybe they're correct there. I love Army, but do I always know Army?
I think one of the things that for me they act wisely eventually.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a case of they're all preoccupied with the mission or they're all preoccupied with something else. So for Boyce it's about being safe and looking after everybody. For Tibbetts, it's about, you know, getting the fuck out of there. For Chase, who just doesn't want to be involved in the combat side of things at all. And then for Explosion Boy, he's like, no, we're going to blow it up this way. It's the only way. So all the mistakes they make are because of character flaws that they have to overcome. And I think eventually in the sort of final moments of the film, they do start acting wisely. I guess. It feels like they start acting wisely. Like for, you know, Boyce to shoot the gas canisters and to inject himself so he can fight better. Like, they start making better choices later in the movie.
Yeah.
But they make some mistakes early on.
True.
There's a very big mistake, I think, when they send just one guy upstairs to deal with the main bad guy. Dumb as fuck, man. Yeah.
And send the worst guy. Yes. Let's be real.
Infuriating when the guy doesn't move and he's like going to pick him up or whatever. I'm like, no, no, you idiot. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Kick dumb him. Shit. Also, there was some bad decisions from the bad guys as well. Mm. Like, who knew Nazis were dumb cunts? it's when, you know, when the soldiers creep a little bit up the stairs and they just see the kid standing up there and they go, oh, yes, it's just the brother. It's like, why don't you check the whole fucking room? Idiots. Bad at your job. And main bad guy choosing to inject himself, like, did he do it like 3 times?
Yeah.
Crazy when they're doing tests that so far have not really worked out. He just decides to fucking do like 3 of them.
I have a question about him. I must have like looked away for a moment. What happens to his face that fucks it up so badly?
He got shot.
Ford shot him. Yeah, Ford like that.
Ah, he does get shot. I thought like I saw the shot, but I didn't know it was as bad as what it was until he takes the injection, and then you realize just a hole in his entire face.
And he did look awesome afterwards. I was like,
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Briefly revisiting the Nazis not checking the attic properly. Mm. Holy fucking cow! All right, you're a Nazi soldier or whatever. It's D-Day. You have reason to believe that something might be going on in a building. Check the damn building, you idiot.
Yeah. Those two, they lost the war.
Yeah. Well, actually, they fucking did, didn't they?
They really did.
Oh, that's great.
And thank God they did.
Yeah.
Heroes in their own way. Well, my favorite part of them acting wisely, in that I thought it was awesome and badass, was when they had the grenade in the mouth with the duct tape over the front of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So the only way they can get him to communicate is to rip the duct tape off, which of course then means they're going to pull the pin from the grenade. I thought, oh, that was delightful.
And it ramps it up because it looks like he's uncooperative because he's shaking his head and he's trying because he can't. They clearly see something's fucking weird's going on, but they're like, why is he gagged? We don't know. And he's fighting them, so he just looks like an insane fuckhead.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Very good. It was very good. And then something that I thought was unwise, just in the terms of the story, was it felt very wasted, the plot point of having the infected auntie in the other room.
Yeah.
I thought for sure she was going to come out and cause some chaos at some point, and she literally never did. I don't really... I saw her as a ticking bomb waiting to happen, and then it just fizzled out, and they shot her at some point.
I think it's just to show that they're doing awful things.
Yeah, but I feel like they should have used that. For a horror movie, you've got this growling auntie in the other room. She's got to bust out and be gross at some
point.
It's
a waste.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
That feels heaps to me like something that hit the cutting room floor.
Oh, yeah, okay.
What actually happened to her?
Yeah, because she's never mentioned again, is she?
So, well, no, we see... So, basically, when they're leaving the place... He says to two of his guys, go take care of the auntie. And then from the outside, we see a flash of gunfire in the window. So they literally just shoot her and then that's it. Which again, if she's part zombie, that shouldn't do anything anyway. Like,
see, that would have been so cool if in that sequence you just saw those two Nazis go flying out the window.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, I want to see crazy auntie, like, take on the Nazis. All right, well then... Here's our scenario. So we've got to talk about how we would deal in this situation. So I guess the four of us are paratroopers on D-Day, falling into Nazi-infested France. I hate it already. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this.
I'll tell you what, Adam is definitely Kurt Russell's son in this.
Yes, absolutely.
I get to light a fucking C4 det cord. That's not how det cord works.
We're in the right hands, boys.
Yeah, because I don't even know what some of those words are.
You know what? We didn't even have to worry about us not acting wisely. We've got Adam.
Except I think that Adam is so well-trained that he sees three lackeys and he's like, I'm just getting rid of you. You're dead.
This
mate.
Is why I love war movies. Yes, tell me I'm a man.
Give me the approval I seek.
Yes. Let's fucking knock over some Nazis. Take that... what did they have? Meth or whatever?
Yes.
Nazis were issued meth in World War II.
Yeah.
Give us some of that meth, then we'll take on the fucking... What were we doing?
See, here's my concern, is that having Adam as our leader is that meth-addled Adam will just get furious that Tom's, like, lapel isn't correct. That's not army. And just rip Tom's head off.
Tom, it's going to be the end where Tom and I are on either sides of the gate. And the gate's locked, and Tom's like, I gotta leave you, don't I? Because you've got the thing in you. And I'm like, meth? Yeah, no, open the gate.
It's just, in this version of it, we're not breaking into a zombie laboratory. It's just a huge Nazi meth lab.
Which Adam seems very invested in for a reason. It's like, questioning.
You got that poison in you. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just, oh man, I could do so many things right now.
You're right, Tom. We can't blow up this lab. Yeah. What? What?
We gotta keep cooking, man.
We don't blow up the radio tower. You just cut the wire and then just take all the meth. We then run through the villages of France in the lead up to D-Day, just dealing we basically become Robin Hood of World War II, but we're stealing meth from Nazi bases and giving it to crazy poor French people. And we're all just meth. No, none of us are on the meth. It's just Adam. Adam's the Walter White of this operation.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yes. I actually like this setup because generally Adam knows army and the three of us know nothing. So we are those new recruits who are just very, like us being genuinely unprepared in real life serves us for the characters in this movie because they were fairly
unprepared. I'm holding my gun backwards. I don't even know.
I'm walking along telling you about the book I'm writing about this war we're fighting and then I explode.
I actually like that because that guy was like, straight away he was too nice. Like as soon as he was really friendly and kind of had a big smile, you're like, oh, you're about to die because that's this premise. So yeah. I'm a bit concerned that we'll be too, well, that maybe I will be too nice and try to be like lifting everyone's spirits and then that means I will die very quickly.
Yeah, maybe your book guy.
I think I might be book
maybe
guy.
Maybe your book guy.
Maybe after the dust settles from the landmine, we just see like your hand holding onto your book and we just take it with us.
Well, that's nice, I guess.
Tell you what. In that scene where they're torturing the Nazi, I reckon I could have got that Nazi to talk. That would have been a big difference. Okay. He would have spilled these guts for me, figuratively and literally.
So are you saying you would do it through torture?
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. I'm following that guy beat. The guy in the movie, I'm following his steps beat for beat, except right at the end where I'm like, no, I'm not going to die. What?
I'm hooked on meth.
I have a reason to live now. Meth.
All right, well, Sean and Tom, how do you think the two of you would do? What would your game plan be if you, Sean Carney, and you, Tom Reed, were thrown into this situation?
Oh, follow Adam, for sure.
Okay, great.
I'm concerned, though, by meth Adam. As soon as Chloe,
you should be.
As soon as Chloe runs through the field, I think Adam will just like freak out, bang, and she's dead.
Yes. Absolutely, I'm going to get us all killed. Don't follow me.
Yeah, look, I think
I'm
we have
on
to.
Meth.
Yeah, he wants I more think we meth. Have to kill our leader.
We're going from like meth base to meth base, and Adam's slowly becoming more and more unhinged as we go along. And Sean and I are like, fuck. This is not how I thought this was. What are you guys whispering about? Oh, nothing. Just how much we love Nazi meth.
We're just reading Damo's book. It's real good. Yep.
Yeah, just reading Damo's book. Oh, I've already read it 15 times.
Here's also my concern. Tom, let's say your boys, you go underground, you bring back a needle full of Nazi zombie juice. Adam sees it, thinking, oh, that's more meth, and immediately ejects it into himself.
Is this red meth? Hell
oh my
yeah.
God.
No, it turned people really gross and weird. Yeah, that sounds like meth.
Yeah.
Yeah, meth. I know meth.
Like their mouths were all fucked and there was like skin flaking off. Yeah, that's just meth.
Yeah, yes. They were in sacks, these weird pod sacks. Yeah, meth. Yeah.
That's how they grow the meth.
In fact, none of that is even is real. It's all just Adam's meth-addled brain making it up.
It's literally, yeah, the base is literally like a little bit of meth and like four Nazis overlooking like a radio shack and that is it. But Adam's like concocted this like insane world thing and Sean and I are just like, oh man, we've got to let him, he's got to believe it, I guess. Yeah, the Nazi zombies, man.
Can I say, I love how many times we've said the word meth in our review of Overlord.
A movie that features zero meth.
No. No meth in the movie whatsoever.
Well, I don't know. Is the zombie juice like the substitute for meth?
Liquid Nazi meth.
Sure. I love as well that I was like, yeah, Nazis had all of their soldiers had meth, and all three of you are like, Adam must be right.
No, that feels right. That feels correct. Yeah. They absolutely gave their soldiers meth to make them awake.
Well, I actually feel pretty good about our, well, not my chances, because I clearly get
you're dead.
Quite early. That sucks.
But for the two of you, I think you just need to wait out Adam's meth high while he charges into this Radio Shack and kills four Nazis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you get to be like, yay, we won army. We did it.
One army.
And then we're just on edge for the rest of the war that our commanding officer is going to snap and kill us.
Yeah. Well, Adam, you've clearly been a very big benefit to this hypothetical. I'm very happy about that. And that is all the Scaredy Talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
I've been Adam.
And if you Scaredy listeners have any comments or would like to say hi, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at Scaredy Boys, or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
I'm at Retro Archetype.
And Adam, very big thanks for suggesting this movie and for coming on the show today. It's been a lot of fun.
Right back at you.
Stay scared, everyone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.